Well, it's, I think, just about everyone's favorite word, Bulldog, Maction. How do you like Ross, too? He texts us about how he's got a game tonight and he's got a little bit of a short schedule, but this is a man after my own heart. When he writes Maction in the text, capital M, capital A, capital C, T-I-O-N. No hyphens, no, you know, not all small letters. Does it right. On the Wester Hotline, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross, where is said Maction tonight?
Kent, Ohio.
Oh,
Dix
yeah.
Stadium, D-I-X. It is the 2-8 Akron Zips against the 0-10 Kent State Golden Flashes. The wagon wheel is on the line. It's by far the biggest game of the season for these teams. They're less than 10 miles apart. Obviously, neither team is very good at all, which means this game's even more important. They both need to win this game. And whoever wins it, it's going to be incredible because either Akron gets their third win, which would be the most they've had since 2017.
Wow.
Or Kent State gets their first win of the season, and those kids go absolutely bananas. I love it. CBS Sports Network tonight. Yes, I'm a sicko. Yes, I have the disease. No, I don't care.
I love it all. Do you happen to know who's in possession of the wagon wheel? Like, did last year's winner in this rivalry get to keep it, and thus they are in possession of it, or is it at a neutral site?
Akron won the wagon wheel last year after four straight losses. So they are in possession of the wagon wheel. They will be bringing it tonight. And think about this, okay? Number one, the one kid told me that winning it last year was the best thing he's ever experienced on a football field. They're less than 10 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
This game, like, you know, there's some talk that maybe the Akron coach is on the hot seat. I don't know. I mean, it just,
you would think.
There's a lot to it. It's raining, pretty cold. It's perfect. It really is.
Hopefully Akron are good sports and actually do have the trophy. Like, I was in a fantasy league and won, and I was there for the trophy. The guy's like, I'll get it to you. I don't have it with me. I left it back. It's back at the hotel.
That's no good.
Oh, my gosh. That's not okay.
No, it's not okay. No, they had better bring it. They better have it there. Just, you know, that be a sport, Akron. I love the coach might be on the hot seat. They haven't won three games in 7 years. You'd think that he might be, yes. Well, the enthusiasm clearly is genuine here, and we can all watch Akron and Kent and Ross on the call tonight on CBS Sports Network. The Bills over the Chiefs on Sunday. Let's get right into it. We don't have as much time today. Your thoughts on the game? It was pretty back and forth. It lived up to a lot of hype. And then you get the Allen run to clinch it for Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say it was kind of what I expected. You know, I thought it would be a close game. I thought it would go back and forth. I thought Josh Allen and the Bills would come through late. I guess in terms of takeaway, my biggest takeaway is maybe that Sean McDermott learned his lesson a little bit by not kicking that field goal, by going for it in that game to try to put them away, to make it a two-score game, which was absolutely the right decision. And so I think that's probably my biggest takeaway moving forward. I also think, you know, I hope that inspires some confidence in the Bills, that they can put the Chiefs away, that they can close games out against them, that they can win a game like that. I don't know if it carries over or not, but, you know, it can't hurt, right? Like, from a fan perspective and media perspective, we can all look at it and say, oh, man, that makes it less likely that they'll beat them in the playoffs, and I don't know, and blah, 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 blah. Like, I get all that, but it really can't hurt that they won that game and the way in which they won it, and won it by two scores. And I would say even not giving up a score after that. You know, like, I thought for sure Mahomes would go down and get a touchdown or a field goal, to make it a one-score game, and then we'd have a little bit more drama. And he probably would have if it wasn't for the holding call, but it happened.
Right. So do you have a different, having seen this game and, you know, analyzed it, do you have a different attitude maybe than last week about where the AFC race goes from here? Last week we were talking, and you seemed to feel that really the one seed was going to end up in Kansas City's lap anyway. I mean, I hope I'm not misstating your opinion on that. At this point, the Chiefs, again, just don't really look that sharp. And I wonder if maybe you think the Bills have they have the win now, of course, but a better look at it. And the incentive should be there, too, for these teams to want to get there.
Well, certainly having the head-to-head win in the tiebreaker, I think, is huge. And as we know, the Bills needed a win for that to even be a conversation point, right? So right. Now it's a conversation point. But again, you know, like the Chiefs play the Panthers this week. They're not losing that game, right? So it's like you start to go through the schedule. I do think there's a chance the Chiefs lose another game. But are the Bills going to win all of theirs, like the rest of theirs? I tend to think probably not. I haven't examined their schedule that closely, but I would imagine that the Bills lose another game at some point.
Yeah,
I think they probably both lose one more game. You know, I think the Chiefs maybe 15-2, Bills 14-3, and the Chiefs still have home field. Maybe not, but, you know, without going through and going game by game, and they'll win that and they'll lose that, like whatever. That'd be my first instinct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about the job the offense did in this game, Ross, with no Kincaid, no Coleman, Cooper, very modest stats, but big catches. Both of his catches were very impactful catches. Shakir did his thing. They didn't really run it well, but they scored 3 rushing touchdowns. I love how they found a way against, you know, I'd say the toughest defense they've maybe seen all year.
Well, that's the key, right? To put up 30 against Spagnuolo, that and that defense, that's very encouraging. And to do it without, I don't know, definitely 2 of their 5 best weapons, right? I mean, Amari Cooper, Shakir, James Cook, and then I'd say Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid, those 5 guys in some order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd like to think that when they have those guys, hopefully in the playoffs, that would make the Bills even more lethal. I also don't know that it works that way a little bit. You know, sometimes it's amazing. Football is such an interesting game in that the best way to describe it is, do you guys ever play, I mean, obviously you've played chess before, but have you ever mm-hmm. seen like people that, or talk to people that play like a high level of chess?
I never have experienced that, no.
Yeah, so any one different piece on the board changes everything, right? Like changes the whole strategy, changes all the different techniques, changes everything. I think football is a little bit more like that maybe than we realize. That, you know, every different piece that's either on the board or off the board, or in this case on the field or off the field, it just changes how Joe Brady game plans that week and plays he calls, and then conversely, what Spagnuolo calls and how he looks at it. It's a fascinating dynamic, which is why it's not always the case. Well, if they get these guys back, then they'll be even better. You know
right.
what I mean? It's not really. You would think that would be the case, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, I love that you brought up chess, because that 4th-and-2 play obviously has been dissected already many times by that whole scene on social media that breaks all that stuff down. And I love like reading and learning about like what the Bills thought they would get from Spagnuolo on that play, which would be man coverage, which the Chiefs play a lot of and had played a good amount of in that game that day. But instead, so the Bills make a play call expecting man coverage, and they don't get it, and Allen recognizes it right away, and that's, I think, what causes him to realize, I'm just going to have to take off, because like this play is designed to go to Shakir in the right flat, and they're going to be on it, because they changed their plan here. I just think that's so cool, that chess match, like Spagnuolo breaking a tendency that the Bills expected, and then Allen just being able to make that all go away and not matter in the end because he just made such a dynamic play.
Yep, I think that's exactly correct. And yeah, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's my favorite player in the NFL. You know, like, thankfully I don't have to pay to watch anybody play, but I would pay to watch Josh play. I mean, he is absolutely must-see TV. And interestingly, you know, there's other guys, Lamar Jackson and Mahomes or whatever. I don't know why. Maybe it's the physical nature with which he runs, mm-hmm. or maybe it's the fact that he kind of looks more helter-skelter sometimes when he does it. But it's just so darn entertaining. He is this generation's Brett Favre. And that when I watch Allen, now obviously he runs it a lot more. Favre was a different player, but I just mean in terms of like, hey, Josh Allen's on. I really want to watch this guy play. Because I just think that there's a lot of people that really, really enjoy watching him play, and certainly I'm one of them.
It's a few minutes left with Ross Tucker. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Maybe this seems a little bit from left field. I know you've got Akron and Kent on the brain here, Ross. Coach of the year in the NFL. McDermott never comes close to it, but his season so far is a little bit of not an underdog season, but, I mean, they're beating certain expectations near the top of the conference again. Mike Tomlin is doing the same thing, maybe even more so. He is the betting favorite at this point. Dan Campbell's been up there. Do you have one of these guys or someone else that you like for that award at this point?
Hadn't thought that much about it, to be honest with you. I mean, the Mike Tomlin one makes a lot of sense to me for a couple of different reasons. Number one, you know, what has the award really become? It's kind of become like wins over expectation,
mm-hmm.
right? So what that means is you go before the year, and we talk about this stuff a lot on the Even Money Betting podcast, but you can talk about the season win total, right? You can bet, for people that aren't familiar, with how many games a team's going to win. Well, I think right now the Steelers and Mike Tomlin are the ones that are exceeding it the most. The other one that came to mind right away for me was Jonathan Gannon and the Arizona Cardinals, or Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings, because both those guys have far exceeded what the season win total expectations were for those teams as well. I think what makes the Steelers even more pronounced is Tomlin made a high-profile decision to bench Justin Fields and go with Russell Wilson that has paid off handsomely. So he sort of has a double dip there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he's clearly beat the expectations for the team, and he also got a lot of attention for a decision that he made that most people panned, didn't think it was a good decision, and turned out to be a great decision, at least so far.
Did you happen to notice Justin Fields at all in that game? The couple of plays he got to play, because he slid on two rushing attempts that absolutely blew my mind. Like, you're the backup quarterback, you're the rushing quarterback, you're in here to try to get us a first down in a short yardage situation, and you're sliding short of the sticks, feet first. Like, dude, what are you doing?
So that's really interesting. You know, I was calling the Dolphins Raiders for CBS,
right.
So I did not see every snap. I saw the one late. Where it was like he slid short of the first down. It's like, dude, are you kidding?
Yeah.
You got to get the first down there, which I would say, I don't know about the first one. Doesn't sound good. But what I would tell you is the fact that he slid short of the line to gain, I think, is like an awareness issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a pretty good indicator of kind of probably why he hasn't become what people thought he would become. In that situation, it's absolutely like you cannot
right.
not get the first down in that spot. You must get the first down. Like, and it's like the lack of awareness is something I see a lot from these guys, which is why, you know, you can just tell, like, Jaden Daniels, right? Like, he knows when to go out of bounds. He knows when to throw the ball away. I mean, I guess I'm just impressed by guys. Some guys just get it, and some guys don't. And I can't think of that many examples, to be honest, of guys that didn't get it but then figured it out.
They usually just don't have it.
It's just not. And I don't know if it's they didn't watch enough football growing up, or their dad didn't talk to them while they were watching it, or they've watched a ton and they just don't have an innate feel for it. But I'm like blown away at times by some of these guys.
Ross, thanks for fitting us in. Akron at Kent, throw out the record books. Enjoy that and stay dry.
I will. I can't wait. Hopefully some of you guys watch, and I will talk to you next week.
All right. That's our man, Ross Tucker, on the Wester Hotline. Odyssey NFL Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May yo game day be delicious. And in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
I didn't realize the Fields thing. The second one was 2nd and 10 on their last possession, and he got 9. And it looks like, yeah, I mean, a first down kind of wins the game.
Yeah.
But there are times where you'd want 9, you know, the extra play.
Yeah.
If you have a quarterback.
This was not one of those times. And he had room. Like, he would have gotten hit, okay? But, again, like, I want my starting quarterback in that situation, in the game on the line. I don't want you sliding early. That's a play where I want you to take the chance. And he's not even the starting quarterback. He's in there specifically for that. Just, dude, yeah, he slid so, I mean, it's easy for me to say so early, but he had room to get. Like, if he starts the slide a half step later, he probably has the first down. But he just couldn't wait. And I just thought, man, that is not a thing to endear yourself to your teammates at all. I mean, they got away with it. They won the game anyway, but still, I thought it was really bad.
Back-to-back chess references here for us this week. Chess is on a two-game appearance streak, two-show appearance streak. I was thinking about the game Sunday and Xavier Worthy for Kansas City. Like, there were a few plays.
Mm-hmm.
They used him in this game. There was a long one that they missed again. Like, that's been happening, I guess, every week where the timing is off. Worthy could have had better awareness where he was on the field. He ends up being out of bounds. Also, Mahomes could have. It's like Allen to Kincaid in Indianapolis. Just
put it in
put
a little better spot. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like he doesn't need to be perfect there. There's nobody on Worthy on that play.
I'd be harder on Worthy on that than on Mahomes myself. He had enough room to make. You see receivers make that play pretty regularly. I think it wouldn't even have been that spectacular. He just didn't realize he didn't have both feet.
Yeah. Just thinking, like, it is, yesterday we started the show, and is this a high point for Bills fans? Sunday was so much fun, and it just looks good in so many ways. One thing before the season that, all right, well, is it going to be a step back this year? Just what's going to happen? We don't know, but I have to admit, any sort of Xavier Worthy or Stephon Diggs, you know, big moment, big play, game winner, something like that. If the Bills weren't winning, I know we would get to that. You know, like the Bills trading out and Worthy is drafted. Of course, Diggs being traded. And it just seems, Diggs especially, just so long forgotten. You know, right now, and I'm still a little bit skeptical. I just think it's a little bit too easy, but that doesn't mean it has to be wrong to think that, like, yeah, this is what they needed, you know, this sort of more balanced attack and not having all the different ways it's been put. Somebody who cares about stats, you know, somebody who has to have the ball. Everybody's putting it a little bit differently, but they're all saying the same thing, that the Bills are a better team because Diggs isn't on it. And I just don't know. Like, he's hurt, too. So there isn't, like, last night could have been a game where you saw Diggs on TV a lot and he's out for the year,
right.
So we don't have that. But this is one where the Bills have, so far, like, it's just Oh, yeah. I think maybe you're listening to this right now. Oh, that's what I forgot, right? Worthy. Yeah, that was Diggs, right? Sure. Who? Yeah, I remember him.
Gabe Davis is out for the year if you want him too, by the way. That happened. So,
that's right.
Their top two receivers from the last 4 years both left in free agency. Well, Diggs got traded, excuse me, but are both out for the year. So, tough break for them.
But, you know.
But it's not in our hair at all. Right. You're not going to have any Gabe Davis highlights to worry about, no Diggs highlights to worry about, and Worthy. You know, that could still happen. I mean, he had 4 for 61 in the first half, and it felt like maybe we're, you know, about to see his first really big game in this spot, and that would have been annoying. But it didn't materialize. He didn't catch another ball after the first half.
Yeah, I mean, hardly anybody seemed to want the Bills to pay up to keep Davis, but you know, he's another one. And Coleman is hurt now, but has done enough. He's had his moments too, where really has not. The opening night when the Chiefs played against Baltimore and Worthy had maybe had two touchdowns in that game. Yeah. He had one right away. Like, here we go. Mm-hmm. Here we go, guy. Was fired up.
Right.
Because the season was starting and Xavier Worthy. But it really just has not been much. And the Chiefs do not have the timing right when it comes to him yet here in going into week 12. Sean McDermott was on our show yesterday. That conversation, that interview, seems to have a lot of people talking, and I want to say a couple things about that as we continue. 803-0550 for your calls. We're in and out of guests all day. We've got Sal and Paul Hamilton still to come, but there's time here after sports, so we'll look when we get back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
The reality of it in this profession, especially as the season goes, you don't really know who's going to be up, and sometimes come Saturday, you're still trying to figure out who's going to be up on game day. And guys, either you're on a practice squad or you're inactive, just staying ready, and when their opportunity comes, making the most of it. It'll be exciting. Hopefully we get some guys back, but I'm confident with whoever we have available is going to be able to get the job done.
Joe Brady, let's go to the phones. 803-0550, Sal Capaccio at 5, Paul Hamilton at 6, Sabres off on a California trip. First game of that trip is tomorrow night in L.A. Here is Mason with us. Hi, Mason.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Really good, Mason. Thanks for calling.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to piggyback on your conversation about the, you know, their wide receiver. The whole, we all know, I mean, as Bills fans, if the Bills pass on somebody, immediately we're like, oh, man, this guy's going to come back and kill us for the next 10 years. You know, so we're always hyper about what they do. But I would argue that I felt the same way when they released these guys from the defense, you know, because we're so used to these names we know. But I was just talking to a guy on Sunday. It's like, I think the youth and the speed that we gain is offsetting maybe even a little bit of the skill level. It's just amazing the way these guys fly around. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, they're just so quick, you know. And you don't know any of their names, but they're just doing a fantastic job on defense. So, I don't know. I'm just glad that it's not me making the decisions, because I think I don't give the Bills, you know, the guys guiding this ship enough credit. Because, man, they make more hits than misses, I'll say that. So, anyway, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't like saying it in the offseason because I know how emotionally attached a lot of fans become. And I'm right there with you to guys. But, I mean, I don't know about hot. I feel like Poyer, it was evident that was going the wrong way. I think all of last year, even the summer before that season started, there were signs that Pittsburgh preseason game, I remember him getting run away from in the middle of the field and just going, oh, no, this could be tough. And I think that has continued, and Miami bought that, and I just don't think that's a player that you can really count on to be holding down an important spot or starting spot on a contending team anymore. Hyde, I don't know, the injuries were more the thing with him than it was athletically, but I always thought it was possible they could get better there, which sounded crazy because, again, those guys were so excellent for so long, but, you know, sometimes the time is right. And boy, on Poyer, on Tre'Davious White, I mean, he did make a nice pass breakup in a game in the end zone. Holy cow, who's he on? Is he on Baltimore now?
Yeah.
He broke up a pass in the end zone on Sunday in Pittsburgh for the Ravens. But, you know, he's had a very rough go. He got released by the Rams, or traded from the Rams to the Ravens, just was getting healthy scratched. It was time. You know, it's tough to have to go through that. But I think the Bills are better. They're still sound. And, you know, I don't know that you're going to get as many splash plays. You know, you think of the play Poyer made in Baltimore in the end zone a couple of years ago. The interception Hyde makes against the Patriots. Like, I don't think you're really getting those plays from these guys. Hamlin's been more in the right spot at the right time to collect his turnovers, but still, you know, credit. But he's very safe. Like, he's gotten burned on a bad angle a couple times, but mostly they're doing what they want done, what the coaches want done back there. And I think they're getting more than by on that. I mean, the one mistake they've had, a deep pass over their heads, was with the kid on the field, Bishop. And that might be the best athlete of the bunch. But he's got to, you know, he's got to ramp up. He's just not there yet, and as evidenced by what happened in Houston to him.
I'll just say this shortly or quickly. I feel mostly the same way about the Bills' defense right now, this year, as I do about their offense, which is I think it's fine. I think what they have done best really on both sides of the ball this year is turnovers. They are second in the league in takeaways. They are third in the league in fewest turnovers. And that is always part design and part luck. I mean, there is some regression that happens with that. And, you know, you could sit here for years and wait for it. Who knows when or if it's even coming. So that's pass pressure, that's attention to detail, you know, being able to make plays like Bernard can, like Douglas can. You know, they've got players who are adept at that, but I think that fluctuates, you know, game to game. And otherwise, you know, if you want to use stats like the turnover stats, they're the most efficient team in the NFL here, maybe even by a little bit, with fewest turnovers and most takeaways. Yards wise, they're right in the middle in both. You know, they're okay. Like, it's average to above average in that statistic, at least alone. So. And, you know, they're getting scored on. They're scoring their points, too. I think the turnover piece may have to keep up for the Bills to keep running at their current pace, which is to say, what, the one seed in the AFC? Like, that's right. If they fall short of that, which they still could, I mean, that's, of course, not a disaster or anything like that. I mean, they're still going to be a playoff team and play at home and all of that. So the takeaways, though, maybe more than any other year, because it's offense, too, have had more to do with their success than previously. Let's go to Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
So I noticed on Sunday two things. One, I never understood the second and long run calls that Brady was calling. I love his schemes. I love what he does. But there was a good chunk of second and eight, second and nine, second and seven where they're giving the ball to Cook to run on the inside. And I get that you got to keep the defense on their toes, where they weren't doing anything on the ground. I think Cook was five or maybe nine carries for 20 yards or something, some ridiculously low number stat, which the city's defense was great. But, you know, you can't run all the time. But I didn't understand that. If you guys want to offer some perspective on that. And two, I don't know if it's just my smooth brain not understanding it, but a lot of guys are catching the ball and immediately run out of the outside line. Like, plenty of time left on the clock, first or third quarter, and nobody's caught inside. There was one play Shakir did, and he got an extra 15 yards. So I'm screaming at the TV, why are we not cutting back inside if it's just something I'm not seeing, or just a thing that they do a lot?
I don't have an answer to that. As you're talking about second down, I see a couple of those early in the game, and then, like, maybe never again, second and long runs, and they converted on those series anyway. So I wouldn't – it's not something that occurred to me. It doesn't look – to me, like, it really is a problem or anything like that. First couple second and longs they had did hand off, but then really most of the game they hardly ever did again.
I think they just realized pretty early that they weren't, despite getting those touchdowns on the ground, excluding the Allen one late, because that's not really it's a rushing touchdown, but come on, right? It's not the same as the Cook handoffs that led to the other two touchdowns in the game. I think they realized pretty early on that it just wasn't going to work. And so they got away from it. They didn't stay in the, I think an indicator of that is how little Alec Anderson played. And that's a guy that they like to lean on 15% or so of the snaps on average on the year. And that was down under 8%, I think, or right around 8%.
Correct.
For this game.
Six plays.
Yeah. So I think they just felt that wasn't going to be a matchup. So it's not to say like that criticism doesn't hold water for other weeks, but on Sunday, I don't think it was really that much in evidence. And I've not noticed at all, really, the other point the caller made myself.
So yesterday we had Sean McDermott on. He might be getting away. Team's getting away with the bye week here. And many people have reached out, Twitter, and I got a couple emails just to express their appreciation, or they were impressed with him and the conversation that we had. And I did tweet about this earlier today because so many people, and last night, because mm-hmm. people were really talking about that. And I was too. What I want to say is, in defense of, beat reporters and other times where you would hear McDermott, and sometimes I'm critical because I just don't really get anything out of it. I'm selfish. I want him to tell me everything that's mm-hmm. happening. And, if he doesn't, and he's not going to, I can sort of be kind of like me about it. But somebody, think of the incentives of the people, like in the post-game press conferences, the TV reporters, they want a soundbite. They don't really, they're not setting up for why the Bills why they handed off to James Cook on 2nd and 9.
Right.
Answers like that are not making the news. So they're looking for more, that's where you get a lot of the, what does this say about your team coach kind of questions that if you're someone else, like I am about this, that's completely useless to me. He's only going to say good things, and it doesn't tell me anything. I could write it, mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of got different incentives. I kind of sit to the point about press conferences, I wish sometimes the questions were more specific to what happened in the game. So there's that. And yesterday, this is the top of the world, right? I mean, this is right. They're 9-2 beating Kansas City. It doesn't get easier to interview a coach from a team than when it's like this. When we had McDermott on in 2018, I mean, there was a lot of frustration. It was still in doubt whether he would work out, whether Allen could play. And from my perspective, I don't know about yours, I mean, I thought at times McDermott was pretty defensive
mm-hmm.
and kind of difficult. But that's a tougher interview because
it's totally understandable.
We're trying to figure out why they're losing, and maybe the coach can shed some light on that, but he doesn't really want to. It's not comfortable. And I might say too, and this is really not something I can say for sure because I'm not close to him, but I get the sense that he's just maybe a lot more sure of himself, relaxed even than then, because that would make sense, right? I mean, he has mm-hmm. he has made it.
Yeah.
And then that was not true. That had not been established yet. And so I think maybe he's a little softer, not to the players necessarily, just softer's not the word. Just maybe more laid back.
Just relaxed about the whole process. Yeah.
More willing to talk.
Yeah.
And, from my perspective on our side of it, it's just it's an easier job to do.
I appreciate that people enjoyed him and whatever compliments that have come the show's way because of how he sounded and how we appeared to handle that. But I give him and really the team all the credit. So the team's not 9-2. Like if they screw that game up, he doesn't go for 4th-and-2, kicks a field goal, Mahomes goes down and beat him. I don't know. Maybe they're not even calling us to have him on yesterday if that's the case. So the team being what the team is relaxes him, I think, in a way. And plus, there's not even the heat of another game on Sunday. It's the bye week.
Right.
There's a lot of things that came together that I think had nothing to do with us, other than us realizing that we could handle the interview the way we did because of all of that. But all of that is not in our control. So, it's mostly just a happy accident that it occurred the way it did, I would say. But I also enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed visiting with him like that, as I did earlier in the year when he was on with us before the season even began.
That's a good point, too, about they're not playing again on Sunday, because there's seemingly like an obligatory question about the next opponent, and that's where you get the here's how good they are in these
and
five ways.
Injuries and all the just stuff that just really gobbles up the majority of the time at those big media appearances.
I ran into him on Saturday. We discussed that for a minute yesterday, and it was very pleasant. He was at the Canisius football game, and lots of people were coming up to him. I was just kind of watching that from afar, and you know, just for a guy like that, that would probably happen everywhere he goes, and it can be not easy sometimes to sort of get used to that. You know, these days, again, it's probably right. Everybody's in a pretty good mood,
right?
Which isn't always the case, but yeah. So those are my thoughts on it. It was nice. If you missed it, it's on the would it still be there? Right about this time yesterday,
yes,
on the Odyssey app, ProFootballReference.com. The minimum is 50 games coached in the NFL to qualify. He is 16th all-time in win percentage. 82-43. That's better than Andy Reid. It's better than Belichick. It's better than Tomlin. And, I mean, Belichick had the Browns and pre-Brady.
Right.
And Reid had a couple down years with the Eagles, or at least one, with Philadelphia. It's better than Bud Grant, Bill Cowher, Joe Gibbs. You know, longer careers, John Harbaugh, 16th all time. Three active coaches are higher, 50 games minimum. Want to guess?
Oh, three active coaches are higher.
I've named some that are not.
Right. You just said John Harbaugh.
And Reed.
Yeah. Could Jim Harbaugh be higher?
Yes. Very good. I think that was a tricky one. He is fifth all time in win percentage. 51-22-1.
How's Sirianni for this?
Yep. Sirianni 42-19. And those were the toughest two for me.
Matt LaFleur.
Yep. Right. Matt LaFleur 63-30.
What a good segment for me.
Absolutely. You don't want any credit for the interview, but you'll force it down our throats on your coach guesses. Sal Capaccio at 5, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. As usual, a nice chat with Ross Tucker today. Maybe you're just tuning in and hearing that he's not going to be on at 5. He had a commitment. Namely, Akron versus Kent.
Maction, baby.
So we had Ross on earlier. And I guess it was a question about Justin Fields, but Allen is a perfect example of the opposite. You know, he gets all the credit for his athletic prowess and the player, the athlete, the player that he is. But he's always been really good at that smart stuff, too.
Yeah.
You know, and that leads to, that should give and does apparently give McDermott more confidence in the fourth down stuff, right? Because Allen is almost a sure thing in that area. This is a long way to get to this, but I wanted to say it yesterday on Lamar. So they go to play Pittsburgh, and I mean, I know what the game was. I mean, it was a difficult game, another loss for the Ravens, another low-scoring game between the teams. I saw a story on Friday, I think it was, where he was talking about this one team they played when he was in high school that they couldn't beat. And I don't know, like, this isn't fair. I admit this isn't fair, but would Allen do that? Would you want to do that? Like, I heard Jackson talking about before the AFC Championship, like, it's getting late, you know, it's 7 years now. Uh-huh. And I don't know, like, there's just like that. That negative swing thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would, man, if I knew him and he trusted me to hear my opinions, be like, buddy.
Don't tell people that.
When he came here for the playoff games, like, I've never seen snow. I mean, just get that stuff out of your head.
Stuff you just don't want to say. Yeah.
You're a two-time MVP.
Yeah.
Just go play, you know? I feel like he's a guy. This is not the same point as Allen on fourth down.
But right.
He just, for as great as he is.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of those other times. Like, why are we thinking about a high school team?
So that must have been in the story. I know I saw a story Friday a few different times. It just made its way through my feeds where he was – the headline was like, Jackson talks about, you know, tough times against the Steelers. And I'll bet that's the context for being asked about or him thinking of this high school rivalry, or maybe not a rivalry, whatever, just high school team he couldn't beat. Because it's in the context of like, I've had tough games against the Steelers. Like we struggle against this team or whatever, that kind of thing. I don't want my quarterback to remember teams he had trouble winning against when he was 17,
you know,
before playing a big rivalry game. I would rather not hear that myself. I mean, that doesn't have to be damning, but it's a leap. I would prefer not to hear it.
For me, I mean, I admit it. It's a leap. Like, who knows? The guy's been amazing. It's probably not a huge thing, but in these certain moments, no, it's just, we don't have to be talking about this. We don't have to be thinking about it. Makes it worse to talk about it. Just forget it. Just, you know, let's talk about the teams you crushed. Let's do that next time. Anyway, Sal Capaccio coming up next. As the Bills are into their bye week here, we'll catch up with Sal before he gets away for a bit. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.